And funny that that should segue into the message. That's what Calvary says. I love you. My question tonight is, what do we have in Jesus? What exactly has He brought to us? So many do not really know. And certainly I cannot be exhaustive tonight. I sure want to hit the high points. Most of us are familiar with what we call Passion Week. You've got the Garden of Gethsemane. You have Jesus' arrest. You have the trial. You have Him standing before Pilate and then before Herod. Then you have His torture, physical torture, mental torture, and emotional torture. You have bloodshed. You have the public execution. You have the burial. And then you have the resurrection. Passion Week. I don't know how you can overestimate what was done in that few days of time. All of those things were the purchase price for something. You understand what I'm saying? And if you have enough resources, you can have what you purchase. You go to the store, you pick something off the shelf, if you have enough money to pay for it, at the other end of the belt, you get to pick it up and take it home. It is now yours. It didn't used to be yours. It used to belong to Safeway or Fry's, but now it belongs to me. And a lot of believers don't understand what took place at that great transaction of Passion Week. What was the price of that? What do you get for your faith? Everything, just if you listen carefully, I won't keep you too long. Everything Jesus took to the cross was for our benefit. Whatever He takes to the cross, it's for us. So let's see what He took to the cross. A little odd that our text would be found in the Old Testament to tell us what Jesus, hundreds of years later, would take to the cross. Yet, that's exactly the way it is. Turn with me to that great chapter of Isaiah chapter 53. I've talked to a few devout Orthodox Jewish people, and one of them said, you know, we were doing a Bible study, and we were studying the book of Isaiah, and the rabbi got, we were studying Isaiah and got to 52. The next week I went back, we did Isaiah 54. And he said, why don't we study Isaiah 53? He says, because we don't. Who hath believed our report? Remember, we're finding out what Jesus took to the cross. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. Now he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. When you are despised and rejected of men, you are in good company. He is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. They tell us, certainly I wasn't there, but what Jesus looked like on the cross was hardly a recognizable human being. We hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, I don't know about you. A lot of us, the Lord deals with us in song. And these old songs that we learned. And in my dad's church often when we would take communion, the song that we would sing is The Healer. And there's a part of the chorus of The Healer. It says, surely he bore all of our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Friday night, I'm in bed, and don't judge me, but I have my grandchildren over on Friday night. They stay overnight, and Becky is a bed hog. And she gets, we have a king size bed, she gets the middle plus. And God forbid if you get out of that bed, because she's going to move just a little bit closer to the edge, and you get about this much left. And all that would go through my head, surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we're healed. Last night I go to bed, I'm fading off to sleep. Surely he bore all of our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. It's like, what are you saying? What are you saying? Surely he hath borne our griefs. He took our griefs to the cross and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We've got to dig into this a little deeper. If this means what I think it means, it's a wow. It's an amazing thing. He borne our griefs. To borne something means to lift us up. To lift us up from our heartache. Our griefs and our heartache. Grief here means malady, anxiety, or calamity. Disease or grief or sickness. He borne our griefs, and he took it to the cross. He took your anxiety to the cross with him. Whatever Jesus took to the cross, he took it for our benefit. Henceforth, if you have anxiety and fear and worry in your life, you're not taking home what Jesus bought for you. His intention is that he would bear up the grief of your life. The hurts and the wounds, they don't belong to you. The feelings of rejection and aloneness, they don't belong to you. Jesus picked them up and took them to Calvary with him. And there, he nailed them to the cross according to Scripture. He carried our sorrows. He literally took with him sorrows in this case. Out of the Hebrew means anguish or affliction, grief, pain, sorrow. He carried it. Are you here tonight? He carried it to the cross. And once something gets to the cross of Jesus, you don't have it anymore. He does. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? Because I've taken it to the cross with me. Our anguish, our affliction, he carried it with him up the Via Dolorosa, the road of sorrow, as he went up and walked up that last road up to the top of Calvary. He's carrying Scott Thurber's sorrows with him so Scott Thurber would not have to wallow in sorrow his whole life. He would not have a life of anguish and a life of wringing his hands. But I could be free from that because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. Come on. I guess I'm more excited about it than you are. What's 9/10 of the law? Possession is 9/10 of the law. And if Jesus has it, I can't have it. If He has my sorrows, then I can't have it. He owns it, not me. It's not part of my life. Hallelujah. I can go to Him and be free of the grief and the anguish that the enemy has laid on me. The exact opposite. The enemy wants me to bear my own grief. He wants me to carry around my own sorrows. He wants me to carry around my heartbreak of my past. He wants to have me carry around all the regrets of my life. He wants me to carry around every mistake I ever made in my whole life. He wants me to carry that around for the remainder of my life. And Jesus all the while is shouting from the cross, I've got this. Would you let me have it? Shame on you. You walk around with your so discouraged about your past and the foolish mistakes you made. I can tell you one thing. You can't go back and fix it. You might as well give it to Jesus. One of the great problems in our society, and I don't want to sound political or anything, but one of the great sorrows of our society is women and men who have aborted babies. What it leaves behind, I don't care if you're a flag-waving liberal, it's only a tissue, my body, my choice person, when you have an abortion, there is a sorrow that sets into your soul. It doesn't. Nobody can teach it out of you, because you know that you know that you know that you did the most horrendous thing in the world. You killed your own offspring. And it has caused grief immeasurable in future relationships and how to get along in life. And that person can never quite really be happy. My friend, Jesus, in a minute we're going to see, Jesus, carry your sorrows with Him to the cross for my benefit. You say, is that getting off easy? I don't know. I didn't make the rule. He carried that grief, that anguish with Him up to Calvary. That means it's not yours. Why are you carrying it around? Why are you ashamed of your past? Jesus paid it all. He carried your past with Him up to Calvary. Let Him have it. I'm going to tell you, the devil's a liar, and he hates you and he hates your family. All right, I'm going to continue on so you won't fall asleep on me. He was wounded for our transgressions. To be wounded in the Hebrew means to bore through, like getting drilled, to bore through something. His hands and His feet were bored through for what? My transgressions. You need to study. Yes, you need to read the Bible, but you also need to study the Bible. There are two little bit different things. An old guy, and I tell you this often, but a real old guy came into my church in New York, and he was a Bible man. He said, Scott, never read the Bible too fast. Read it slow. Don't skip over. Sister Carol said it this morning, sometimes the little words are really important. He was wounded, bore through for our transgressions. A transgression here means a revolt or rebellion. Jesus was wounded for my rebellion, my sin, my bad attitude, my revolt against God and what He stood for. He let them bore through Him so that we might be set free from our own transgressions. He did not qualify it. He didn't say, well, yes, that's if you get mad and cuss. Yes, that's good for that. But But if you do something really bad over here, if you steal a lot of money, well, then you can't be forgiven for that. He didn't qualify it. He said, for every one of our transgressions I was wounded for. He took my, I don't know if you can get this, he took my personal transgressions to the cross. And when I come to him by faith, I don't even own my own transgressions anymore. He paid the price so that they don't belong to me anymore. I take home his freedom and forgiveness from that transgression. That's what I take home. It is not attached to me any longer. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Let's go on. He was bruised for our iniquities. To bruise in this case is to crumble, to beat to pieces. To bruise is like if you had something whole here and you had a little hammer and you kept beating it and you almost powder it. You keep beating it until it's, you know, down to its smallest particles that were put together. That's what it means to bruise. To beat in pieces, to break in pieces, to crush, to destroy, to humble, or oppress, or to smite. That's what, in this case, bruised means. Jesus was bruised for my iniquities. He was physically bruised or crushed. He was mentally bruised. You cannot believe what they said to the Creator of the universe, the great Son of God, the Word made flesh, the words that they used against Him. They called Him every name in the book. He was bruised in that. He was bruised emotionally. They said, you're not the Son of God. You're just another blasphemer. A crazy blasphemer. I don't think we comprehend. You know, the devil wants us to think when we're going through a tough time, you know, you're the only one this has happened to. No one's ever experienced this. Can I tell you something? When Hebrews says Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, and we think about sin and all that, but every rejection, every betrayal, everything, he went through that for my benefit. He knows every feeling that you can feel, every negative thing. All the demons of hell and the principalities of hell came against him so that he would have experience, so that he could take all of that stuff that the enemy has come against you and put it on the cross. He went through it before the cross so he could take it to the cross. Why would he allow himself? You know, remember that old song, he could have called 10,000 angels. And some of us wish he would have. Smack those people down. Bunch of hypocritical religious. Why would the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the healer of men and women, the miracle worker, the man who walked on water, why would he subject himself to being crushed, to be abused like this? Why would he even allow this? His disciples must have been going nuts. Why doesn't he just breathe on them and knock them over like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane? Why? Why is he allowing this to happen? There's a reason. Because of my, Scott Thurber's, iniquities. I know it's hard to believe that God could look that far into the future and see my iniquities and know that he would need to carry those exact iniquities to the cross. That's hard to believe. You don't even know what iniquities in the Hebrew means. You don't want, is it the same as trespasses? No. Trespasses, rebellion. Iniquities. Do you want me to read it from Strong's? Perversity. That is moral evil, fault, iniquity, mischief, iniquity, sin. Your perverseness, Do we live in a perverse generation? What gets the headlines these days are famous people that have lots of iniquities. Famous preachers that have iniquities. Your children that have iniquities. You know, the state, we think we're so smart. I just don't have a good feeling about AI. Somebody said AI is the beginning of the image of the Antichrist, the beast. And I don't have a good feeling about it. But back in the day, if you were going to cheat on your spouse, you had to work at it. Today, it's a swipe away. You could be in your own home going like this and start something. I want to caution those of you that are doing that. They're all lies. That's not really her picture. And it's probably a guy in the basement of his parents putting that profile up there so he can ask, so he can get money out of you. Stupid. We live in a twisted, perverse just means twisted. Not correct, you know, out of the way. Well, not that there's any perverts in the house, but Jesus was crushed for those that are in the midst of mischief and perversity. Jesus was crushed so that he could take the perversity of mankind with him to the cross. A lot of us are like, oh, don't be so sanctimonious. Glory to God. Lots of people have done lots of stupid stuff. And yet, I'm here to tell you the truth of the Scripture tonight, that Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. He took our iniquities. Do you understand? He took homosexuality to the cross. He took adultery to the cross. He took fornication to the cross so that we would have the opportunity to be free from it. Doesn't matter whether you like that or not. He did it anyway. For every homosexual out there, I want to tell you, there is freedom in Jesus because He took your sin to His cross and He shed His blood over your sin. And yes, you can come back. Yes, there is a pathway out of the pit that you have dug for yourself. There is a way back, for Jesus took it to the cross. For every adulterer out there, you're hiding an affair tonight. I want to tell you, if you're willing to have faith in Jesus, confess your rotten sin and repent of it, He took it to the cross with Him, and you can get forgiveness. I don't know how your marriage is going to end up, but let me tell you, I would rather be single and go to heaven than be a dirtbag and go to hell. Oh, but I kept my secret. Well, that's great. You can keep your secret in hell. Should we move on? The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He took the chastisement, the correction, the instruction. So in spite of what we were, we might have peace in our souls. Peace, peace, sweet peace. The peace that passes all understanding. One night without Jesus, I'm in a turmoil. My stomach's all knotted up and twisted. I have a headache because of all the garbage in my life. And the next night, by faith, I say, Jesus, can you help? and his peace comes because he took all of that junk to the cross with him. He took it with him. I don't know if Christians understand that or not. I'm not going to tell you the whole story again of Danny Velasco. That man in New York City who did the hair of all the Ford models and all of that, and he got hooked on cocaine and went from getting paid $3,000 a day to comb hair to living on the street, drug sick, waiting for his next fix, and all the while, one of those models loved Jesus, and she kept telling him, Danny, when you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. He ends up in the hospital, these voices screaming in his head that would never stop. Can you imagine voices in your head 24 hours a day just screaming at you? You're not able to think right. And those voices, he's in the hospital. He's in an upper floor. I don't know what floor it was. And he says, there's the window. Open the window and jump out. You get rid of the voices. And he's in that hospital, and he's thinking about doing that very thing because they're telling him to. And then something comes and reminds him. She said, if I could just call upon the name of the Lord. He said, I've got nothing to lose. And he said, Jesus, help me. The second he said, Jesus, help me, for the first time in months, the voices shut up. He said, well, I better try that again. Jesus, help me. Something began to take place in Danny Velasco's soul. And the devil lost another one. His friend was exactly right when he called upon the name of the Lord. All the torture, all the confusion left, and peace. Because Jesus, a long time ago, took his confusion and all of that stuff with him at the cross. And the second that I put faith to that, he will take it away. He will give you the peace that you've always longed for. Now, this next part is often quoted. We could all quote it here together. By his stripes, we are healed. I was surprised, to be telling you, when I looked the definition up. Stripes, it means a black and blue mark. A wound, what we know is a bruise. How many know the older you get, the easier you bruise? If you even look at the corner of something, it will bruise you. You have to hit it. So all of his wounds, including the whipping post ones, you understand something. I don't know what to believe. I hear different commentators' stuff. But you know, who whipped Jesus? The Romans whipped. They, you know, the Jews had rules about scourging. You could only scourge somebody 39 times. You had to be less than 40. The max you could get was 39 stripes with a scourge. The Romans had no rule like that. They could have beaten him and beaten him. And at first, they showed up. The bruises showed up. And then after the bruises came, then they began to cut into his flesh. And so now there was open wounds and open bleeding and all of that. They went on and on. And the whips would then cut into his flesh. Understand, you see that his head was striped by the blood of the thorns, piercing through the skin of his skull, right? So he was pierced that way. He was striped in his head. He was wounded in his head. His back was striped and bruised by the scourging. His feet were bruised by the nails. His arms were bruised by the ropes and the nails. So that we, listen carefully, then I'm almost done. So that we may be healed, somebody got to believe this again, in our physical bodies. You know what I'm sick and tired of? People trying to help Jesus heal them. Just trust him. Don't fake it. You don't need to help him. He will heal you. trust in Him. You know what I'm sick and tired of? Is make-believe evangelists that declare things on TV and all of that nonsense. It is nonsense. But it does not take away from the very truth of this, that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. He took the thorns in His head so that our minds might be healed. How many knows America's minds need to be healed? Mankind has done the best they could. They have sunk. If there was a number called a zillion, they've sunk $1 zillion in pharmaceuticals for everything in your brain to try and equalize the chemicals and help people that are either depressed or nuts or, you know, just crazy, that kind of thing. But I want to tell you something. There is something even better than that. And that is the faith that Jesus Christ took the stripes in His head so that you might be healed. Mental health is not something just out there. Jesus died on that cross so that I might be mentally healthy. All right, you don't believe me. That's all right. Come to Jesus. America's sick in the head. We don't think right. We're expecting somebody else to take care of us and do everything for us. We expect the man that you make an appointment or the woman that you make an appointment with who's always late for your appointment, but they expect you to be on time. They have 3 different waiting rooms. They have the outside waiting room. You wait another half hour past your appointment time. They have the first waiting room, which is the worst because they weigh you. Last time I was at the doctor, I asked the lady there, I said, "Now, how much can I take off?" I found out something else. If you suck in your gut, it doesn't matter. It doesn't help anything. And when you finally get into the room with the sheet of paper on the thing there, and you sit there and you still wait, and you read all the devastating news on the walls. My wife had a problem, and she wanted to get rid of the pain. She went to the doctor, and she went through the first 2, and she sat in the next room with the paper on the thing, and she's sitting there, it's like, "These are pictures of hips. Why am I here?" She didn't know that she was in a place where they're going to say, "We're going to take your old hip out and put a new hip in. Put your left hip in." All right. We have placed so much faith in what they say and what they prescribe. But my friends, there is something better than that. And that's the stripes that Jesus took. And we've actually got to truly believe it. I am not anti-doctor or anti-surgeon. But let me tell you something. I'm more pro-Jesus than I am them. It's real. He was really wounded for our transgressions. Hallelujah. He was really bruised for our iniquities. Really, He took the chastisement of our peace upon Him. And really, by His stripes, we are healed. We've got sickness in our souls. People can't go to sleep at night. Now, if you're over 60 or something, sorry. We can't help you, all right? You sleep whenever you can. For me, it's like 3 p.m. It's like, what happens to you? Shut down. I don't have to shut down long, but you shut down. I don't want to have anybody raise their hands and tell me who takes a sleeping pill at night. But don't raise your hand. I had a serious issue. I said, "Don't raise your hand." Now, I'm going to say something. Don't raise your hand. One guy raised his hand. All right, well. We can't sleep anymore. I want to tell you, Jesus took all of that garbage that keeps you awake to the cross with Him. Jesus paid it all. all to Him I owe. Hallelujah. Our minds are healed by His stripes. Our souls are healed by His stripes. I don't know what difficulties you've been through. I don't know who has hurt you, betrayed you, rejected you, left you on the stoop, hoping for somebody to like you and nobody came along and liked you. I don't know what you have been through. I can tell you this, though. Jesus took all of that to the cross with Him, and you're going to be all right. I know it might sound a little Pollyanna, but I don't know. Maybe the gospel's a little Pollyanna. Maybe it's better than you think it is. Do the same for your physical body. We need a revival of honest to goodness physical healing. But part of the problem with the lack of physical healing is we don't cooperate with God. Because He says, Scott, I want to heal you, but you're harboring bitterness in your heart, and it's hindering your healing. Forgive them. Because you hold on to your bitterness, you get to hold on to your disease. Now, I'm not saying that across the board, all right? I am just saying, Jesus wants to heal. He already paid the price for our healing. Let's make sure we give Him every opportunity to do what He wants to do. So when you are standing, forgive. Let it go. I know I've hammered that lately. Because I want the manifest presence of God. And if you got a room full of people that are offended and carrying offenses with them, the manifest presence of God is not showing up. Okay. I'll let Jamie finish that up some night. Verse 6. Tim, come. All we like stupid sheep, that's my word. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've tried to do it our own way. We've turned everyone to his own way. Lord, I can handle this on my own. I'll go to enough doctors. I'll see enough. I'll get it done my own way. But the Lord hath laid on him. Are you there? Verse 6, 53 of Isaiah. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, the perversity, the out of the wayness of us all. Let me read that again. And if I'm there 50 minutes from now, reading the same phrase, I'll stay until somebody gets it. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You thought I was kidding. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord laid on him the iniquity. He laid Scott R. Thurber, born in 1958. He laid my iniquity on Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago when he walked up to Golgotha's top and hung on the cross. He laid my iniquity on him. So when I, by faith, came to Jesus Christ, I could be free from my own iniquity.
He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a sheep, a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He didn't protest. You know why he didn't protest? Because he saw my need for my iniquities to be taken away from me. He knew that I would have to be healed. He knew I'd have to be saved. He knew I had to be delivered. So he didn't protest against it. He said, for Scott, I'm going to do it. Glory to God. If you can put your name in there, you can put your grandfather's name in there, you can put your great-great-great-great-grandmother's name in there, whoever you want to put in there, you can put in there. He took it to the cross. Taken from prison and from judgment, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He died, in essence, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
Verse 10 is the cousin to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I remember my mother was speaking at some event, and she had this story. Where I come from, we have the Erie Canal. The Erie Canal connects the Atlantic Ocean to the Great Lakes. And it ran right through our town. And they have bridges that have to be raised and lowered. Big, huge cables on them. And they actually employed people to sit there and watch the canal. And when a boat would come, they would pull a lever and the bridge would go up. And once the boat would go through, it would come down. One day, this bridge guy took his son to work with him. And as little boys will do, he's playing around. And he saw a boat coming. And he pulled the lever and the bridge went up. Well, the little kid was messing around and he slipped. And he fell down into the pit where the big gears were. And I take it back. I'm wrong. He did this. No, it's worse. So the little kid was playing around. He jumped down there and the boat was coming. And if he doesn't bring the bridge up, the boat crashes into the bridge. And if he pulls the lever, he kills his son. I want you to know the father pulled the lever. He gave his only begotten son so he could save people like you and me. That's what the father had to do. For it pleased God. Please the Lord to smite him on my behalf. He purchased everything we need. We've got everything. Don't ever think that you don't have enough. He purchased everything that humankind needs to lead a great life, to live a victorious life. But we've got to trust him. We've got to believe this very thing. Wait a minute. He carried my depression to the cross. Why am I grabbing it out of his hand and hanging on to it? There is no need for me to do that. Jesus, Tim, I want to sing Jesus Paid It All. All to him. Jeremy here, can you get those words up for me, buddy, please? And would you stand together with me? I don't know your situation necessarily tonight. Sister Carol talked about answers that her prayers went gone unanswered. They're not unanswered. You just haven't seen it yet. But you're going to have to trust him. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to walk around discouraged. You don't have to walk around full of fear and anxiety or worry. I said, or worry. You don't have to. Jesus took the situation that you're in. He already took it with him. He already knows. He's already made a way. And tonight, maybe there's something that you need to give back to the Lord. Maybe there's something that you have in your heart that Jesus actually took to the cross. And you need to hand it back to him. So it's not part of you anymore. I'm going to open the altars tonight, see if you do a little. I always feel like the altars are where business takes place with the Lord. You read the Old Testament, a transaction takes place at an altar. I bring my sacrifice, he receives it. I praise him, he receives it. A transaction takes place when we come before the Lord at an altar. And tonight, if you need to have a transaction take place. Maybe you don't generally worry, but this one thing has just been pressing down on you, and maybe it doesn't help you go to sleep at night, and you kind of go to sleep worrying and tossing about it. Maybe you're unsure about your physical future. Maybe like LaMoncia, the doctor has given you a bad report. You don't know what to do with that. It's kind of taken you aback. I just want you to know Jesus has already taken it to the cross. All you got to do is trust Him. Trust Him. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white.
Do you have business?